Welcome to the greatest crypto podcast in all the universe's worlds. Welcome to the Orange Brick Road. And you know it's important because I'm using this deep voice. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Orange Brick Road podcast. Today, we have the Chief Bitcoin Officer and the CEO of Perth Heat, Steve and Patrick. Perth Heat is going right into Bitcoin. Perth Heat's become the first pro baseball club to be powered on Bitcoin payments and payouts to players, staff using the Lightning Network. They're paying their players in Bitcoin, their staff, they're accepting Bitcoin payments for sponsors, merchandising and ballpark concessions, and hodling Bitcoin on the club's balance sheet in partnership with OneNode. Okay, I hope you will enjoy. It's a great conversation. Please like, subscribe, and ring the bell. Thank you. Okay, guys, today we have two reps from the Perth Heat, which is a baseball team based here in Perth in Western Australia. So what I'll do is I'll fling over to you, Patrick, first, just to give a little intro of your role.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having us on. I am the Chief Bitcoin Officer at the Perth Heat, which back in November made news coming out as the first team to operate on a Bitcoin standard, first professional sports team in the world. So that means everything Bitcoin, Bitcoin at the ballpark, Bitcoin for the concessions, for the beers, for the tickets online, for the treasury asset that we hold, Bitcoin, everything. And really, it was a dream of mine to see an organization do this. It was just in my introduction to Steve, the CEO, and then orange pilling the board and getting everybody on board. And after a few months, almost years of back-end work, we realized that it was something we could actually pull off and do. And the time was right and the infrastructure was there. And really the rest is history. Jumped on board. And since then, we have been tackling the issues that come up with being the first in anything. So I think that's the mildest way that I can put it, but times are exciting. There's never a dull moment in the office or during the day, and things are moving at a million miles an hour. And despite the volatility in the price, despite some of the bearish sentiment that is out there on the back end of things, I've never been more bullish on the network, on the participants, on the companies inside. To see what is being built behind the scenes is really an astounding thing. When you step behind the curtain, you can see the kind of people that are making these decisions and building these protocols and building these applications that will live on top of what is essentially the strongest computer network in the history of the world. So super excited to be involved.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. And I love your title, eh? Chief Bitcoin Officer. Yeah. That's just the best. Who came up with that? Was that just a brainstorming and it stuck, or?
No, I think the credit on that goes to Steve. We originally thought that that there, after the transition period, that there would you'd be able to sort of phase out that position. But it quickly became apparent that you can't really be a company at this stage and go all in on Bitcoin and not have some sort of a presence in the office, just around all of the things that are going to pop up, because everything at this stage is sort of requires a little bit of understanding, even the payments of players, the taxes, the how things are treated, the treasury assets, all of that stuff. It adds up pretty quickly, and things are always changing. So it's not like unfortunately, now it's not really a set and forget. This is how we're going to do it, and this immediately replaces all of the legacy systems that we are used to interacting with. So it became apparent that there was a role there that was going to have to be ongoing. And thankfully, Steve tipped the hat and gave me the opportunity.
Well, that brings me on to you, Steve. Okay, a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into why you're the madman of Perth Heat that decided to be the first sporting outfit, or whatever you call it, franchise to go
it's
all
funny,
in.
Pat tips his hat off to me. I tip my hat off to him. Without him, this journey doesn't happen. So, I often say he's the brains behind the operation. Certainly the man who orange pilled me and led me to the belief that we could do this with the Perth Heat. So, and my journey into Bitcoin is certainly not as deep as Patrick's or others back to 2012 or 2013. Those formative years. But when I continue to look at the organisation and think where we needed to be and how do we remain having a competitive advantage over our opponents in terms of maintaining our position as the premier baseball team in Australia, I continually went back to Bitcoin and looking at what's happening globally and our association with the Tampa Bay Rays, the imports that we get through the United States and other parts of the world, and improving our efficiencies as a business. Bitcoin kept popping up, and through those discussions with Patrick, they continue to evolve to a position where we thought it was time to make Perth Heat the first team. And in some ways, it was our own self-trepidation that held us back from doing it earlier, because no one else had done it before. So it was, what are we missing here? Is there something that we're not sure about, or is there something that we have overlooked that is stopping us from becoming the first team in world sport? Once we overcame that, we launched November 17. Has it been an easy ride? By no means. We continue to evolve our operation weekly, daily, and continue to make adjustments for the season coming up, which starts late October, early November. So it's been wild, but we wouldn't change it for a thing either.
And what is your role in Perth Heat?
I'm the chief executive officer. So
okay. So, and your background with, say, Patrick, for example, were you friends prior to this, or was he just some random nerdy Bitcoin person that knocked on your door?
No, he's not. We've got an association. It's funny, not too many people ask this, but there's full disclosure here. Patrick's actually my brother-in-law.
Gotcha.
But in a funny way, it wasn't really something that was discussed at the Christmas family table or anything like that, or me knowing that Patrick was a Bitcoiner himself. It took my own inquisitive nature about Bitcoin, to find Patrick in some ways. So, prior to me starting my journey, don't know anything about Patrick's Bitcoin journey. No, I didn't. And it was through a random conversation one day that we started talking about it, and Patrick was just an incredibly good listener. And still after that first conversation, which I remember very, very clearly, I had really no idea, where this would lead us, or, what Patrick's position was on Bitcoin. He just sat there and listened and just chatted, and it just continued to grow from there. Forever grateful for those conversations.
So what was the moment that you got orange peeled? I mean, what kicked you over the line? Because I do know when I'm talking to friends or relatives of friends or whatever, most of them are like, it's internet money. It's only for drug dealers and that sort of stuff. But occasionally you get someone that will turn around and go, explain more about that, but it takes something, So do you remember that point?
I even think, when was orange pilled? Because I think there's so many ways you can be orange pilled at a certain level, depending, what your threshold is in some ways. But it's been that the international payments with some of our players and how difficult that has been, and the championship series in Melbourne on the day when it looked like the country was about to be shut down again, and I had 12 players which potentially had to go back to the United States the day that we're going to play a championship game, and they needed to take money out of a bank account because they couldn't leave Australia with all their fiat in an ANZ account or a Westpac account or whatever that may be, and instead of preparing for a championship game, I knew that part of their mindset was on where their fiat was. So is there a better way to continue to improve our organisation? For me, in that moment, Bitcoin solved a lot of issues with our international players. Now, from that instant, there's so many other parts of the business that you bring back into it. But for me, that was a pretty clear moment that, we could be doing things so much better as an organisation. I need to continue to learn more about this.
Yeah, okay. And how did you put it to the players? I mean, you just come up and go, oh, by the way, here's an option, or?
Oh, no, not really. But look, you continue to have different conversations with different players depending on what your relationship is with them and their seniority and et cetera, et cetera. So we're having different conversations with different players at different times and talking them through what we were doing without, I guess, revealing the whole operating on a Bitcoin stat and just seeing what their position was as well. The whole payment to players headline is the headline that gets brought up the most, but still we need to re-emphasize Bitcoin is the default, and would I take every week or every fortnight when we get paid 100% of my wage out in Bitcoin? No, I wouldn't, because right now you just can't walk down the streets of Perth and run your life, tapping and purchasing with Bitcoin. So there's a continual education process there with our players in terms of how we'd like to educate them and for them to understand Bitcoin moving forward. So those discussions and the education is ongoing, and we continue to work with them.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because originally Bitcoin was supposed to be peer-to-peer cash, and it's kind of evolved into a store of value now. And and I find that when I get people that are involved in crypto and Bitcoin and that sort of thing, they become more future orientated instead of the week to week. They're sort of now concentrating on the 3 to 5, 8 years of accumulating wealth and setting themselves up. And I think we discussed it last time we spoke with your players as well, having them, because obviously sports people have a very limited time, that they can perform, or then they might go into other roles like coaching or, assisting or something like that. But having them understanding that your career only goes for so many years, you need to utilize and get the most out of it financially to get the most out of it for you and your family,
So absolutely. And our playing group or our roster is really varied compared to, traditional sports teams in Australia, say, whether you want to compare it to the West Coast Eagles or the Sydney Swans or the Wildcats or whoever they may be, where they've got their squad together for the best part of 12 months every year. So our squad comes together late. 50% of our roster comes in from the United States, and that 50% changes pretty much every year, especially with our association with the Tampa Bay Rays. So it's not like for the next 5 years, we'll consistently have the same 30 players that we deal with.
But you are educating them on future focus.
Oh, without doubt. Absolutely. Our squad is different, and those conversations, and as you said, the future focus continues to be part of what we do with them.
Right. So Patrick, what are some of the, because I know we touched on it briefly when we spoke last time too, because you just had a lot of innovative and unique ways of implementing the Bitcoin, not only to your players, but to the fan base and to your stadium and that sort of stuff, which was, because I originally, when we first started, I thought it was just for the players, but then you sort of opened up the whole can of what you can do. So go into that in a bit more detail, because I reckon that's awesome,
Yeah. It's fairly easy to sum up, maybe not exactly all the things we're doing, but what we are doing is fairly easy. It is everything in Bitcoin. It doesn't matter what it is, anything that you could have paid for.
It's easy. It's just everything.
It's everything. It's everything at the ballpark. It's everything, every beer, every popcorn, every hot dog, everything that you want to get, every ticket, every interaction that happens at the ballpark. The option is there to pay in Bitcoin. It's actively encouraged. We are building essentially what is happening. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Bitcoin Beach in El Salvador and what that started, and really the mecca that became for Bitcoiners to be able to go on this pilgrimage to a place where you could see the future in action. That is what at least the physical ballpark, that is what we envision for this upcoming season, is that it will be a place that Bitcoiners from around the world will want to flock to see exactly how the future is going to operate. And that was almost a selling point inside the Orange Pill session with the organization was, we want to be the people at the front. We want to be the people at the tip of the spear. There's no other sports organization doing this. All of the companies inside Bitcoin that have solutions or that think that they have solutions to deal with a small business or a medium-sized business like we are, they're going to come forward and they're going to offer up those opportunities to try and test them on a live audience that is willing to go through the process, which we talked about before. I think we started recording. The idea here for us is originally there was no one else doing this, right? And there is advantage to being the first mover. There's also a large disadvantage, which we're going to have to cobble together systems that are not going to make sense at first, and they're not going to be the most efficient, and they're not going to be the most ideal. But really, the thing that was, we were driven home from both the board and Steve, is this idea that it has to be, anything that we do has to be better than the legacy system. It cannot be worse. We can't be going backwards. So any solution that I have to offer, it has to be easier. We're talking about the payment of players. We couldn't have them signing up to some crazy exchange that they had to do, and then there was some sort of backwards fee process where they were getting screwed and they didn't have any answers to what we were trying to do. It's like, it had to be easier, right? So it had to be as easy as signing up for an email that they would all of a sudden get paid. Had to be, for treasury asset reasons. Holding it on the balance sheet had to be easier than the alternative. All of these things had to be easier. And that was really the motto going in, which is why almost, you know, part and part, why it became so difficult at first to actually get this fully launched. You know, it was almost a year that we were working on this behind the scenes, trying to make it happen and beat Michael Saylor to the punch. But you know, we just don't have those resources. And so it did take time and it did take partnering with the right people. But essentially now, the way that it is set up, again, we are nowhere near operating the same way that we did when we made the announcement. In fact, we're significantly better off right now with all of the systems in place at the ballpark, with taking Bitcoin, with exactly how we're going to do it, with all of the integrations, with taxes and things like that. That is all getting better. But, you know, it's still at a stage where we have these conversations with other businesses. They want to know how we've done this. Both big and small. And unfortunately, the answer is now. I can't point you to a, hey, go to this one place and they'll take care of everything. Really, it's, I can tell you how we've done it. I can tell you the steps that we've taken to get there. But is it going to be ideal for your business now? No. And that's just the reality of the situation, right? The infrastructure has gotten significantly better. But really, if you are going to step into this area or into this arena and participate, you're going to have to be able to spare enough resources to sort of tackle all of the different facets.
Yeah, and them facets are going to be, like I imagine, are going to be evolving as well. Like you cover this area, but then that brings up another issue that you then need to. So it's almost like a branching out. You know, what amazes me the most out of it is one, the ability for your board to take this on, you know, because with any new venture and venturing out into something that's the brave new world, you're going to make mistakes. You know, that there's going to be things that you'll try that didn't quite work, that you need improving, and you're going to be evolving, and it might take you 6-12 months to have everything streamlined. But what is also I don't know, even a revenue way of creating revenue, is then you are going to have sporting teams and other CEOs and managers and that are going to be coming to you that want education on how did you implement this? What mistakes did you make? What did you do to improve? Can you see that as a potential, like in the future, like you know, other sporting companies, people coming to you going, show us?
Yeah, I mean, not in the future. I would say now. I think Steve can speak to this. It's not, that's already happened. We spent the majority of our time, you know, these last few months in conversations just like this, sitting in front of boards of companies, Fortune 500 companies, smaller companies, different sports organizations. Like it's almost a second side of the business has become, how are we doing this? So it's not just the baseball, but maybe Steve can speak to that more.
Yeah, we've had an entire international sports league with 12 representatives have a 2-hour chat with us in regards to our Bitcoin journey. How do we do it? Should they do it? Why shouldn't they do it? It was a fascinating discussion. We've had teams from the NHL in the United, you know, reach out to us. So it's been pretty varied in terms of the requests we've had from people within organisations, C-level executives, board members, business owners, wanting to chat about our journey and whether they should do it, why shouldn't they do it, and to what level should they get involved as well. So, managing the calendar is important because, you know, we want to give back to the community as much as it's given us in terms of finding our feet and establishing ourselves, but also, you know, making sure that what we're doing within the organisation is, you know, positioning us in the best position as well, because as you said, there's pressure to get it right. You know, certainly, you know, the board don't want to see mistakes. They understand it's a journey and we're going to learn and we're going to improve our efficiencies over time, but we're also in the business of winning and making sure we get things right from the start. So just balancing those different parts of educating others to come on the journey with us, but also managing our own business is important.
It's probably because you guys are involved in sport, you're also very competitive, you know what I mean? So you want
very
to achieve. Very. Yeah. I mean, have you had any negativity from different outfits or people?
Oh, there's always haters, regardless of what you do. And, yeah, what we're doing hasn't been done before. So there's, yeah, a lot of people that don't understand what our position is, why we're doing it, and, you know, naturally you're going to get you know, the comments that you see on social media. But we didn't start this journey without knowing there was going to be that type of, I mean, in some ways vitriol from some parts of the community, then yeah, we probably weren't the right people to do it. So you lose credibility taking risks you believe in. The great Jack Dorsey said that on a chat with Michael Saylor, and it's my favourite quote of the year, because naturally there have been people that have questioned what we're doing and why, as the best baseball organisation in Australia, why are we suddenly taking this stand as a Bitcoin baseball team? I think in time people will understand, but you've also got to accept that. In so many ways, while Bitcoin can be so simple, it can be very complex as well. And if people haven't invested 100 hours of their life to understand Bitcoin, then they're not going to be quite at the level of us in terms of understanding why we've taken this position.
It definitely is. It's not for the faint-hearted. You've really got to dive in with both feet.
Well, yeah, you do. And I would say in so many ways, I've barely scratched the surface myself in terms of understanding. I'm so fortunate I've got someone like Patrick alongside me on this journey. It's complex, it's involved, and then there's people that will miss simple facts that you can still come to the ballpark and purchase in fiat, that it's not exclusively a venue that only accepts Bitcoin payments. We are not at that stage to be able to do that at the moment. But should they be proud that Perth Heat is the first sports venue in the world that accepts Bitcoin payments? Mm-hmm. Crypto.com paid $700 million to rename the iconic stadium in LA, and they don't accept any crypto payments or any Bitcoin payments yet. Here we are, a baseball team in Australia, and we're setting the standard for the rest of the world. We'll start mining Bitcoin. We've said that openly in terms at the ballpark, and be a great education for people to understand that as well. There's so many different elements to this journey in terms of education and what the future of sports looks like in terms of what we'll roll out and continue to put Perth at the forefront of being innovators, and a great ball club that doesn't just sit on its laurels, wants to continue to improve and push boundaries.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, mate. If you're not evolving, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're just going backwards. That's both like physically, but also your education as well.
Well, we need to. We've been, badly affected by COVID the last 2 years, and the amount of baseball games that we played. We need to evolve. We need to look, beyond the next 6-12 months, and what does the future look like in 2032 for the Perth Heat and for the world? I see a world of Bitcoin.
Patrick, how have you found the response from the sponsors, the money people?
The money people inside of the Bitcoin world. It has been an interesting journey to see the reaction and the difference between sort of the plebs of the Bitcoin community and everyone rallying around the team and seeing that, and then the corporate side of things, and just seeing from the echo chamber that really becomes Bitcoin Twitter. I don't know how active you are in that space.
But, successful.
It's a different world. It is a different world, and there's lots of times things can get, it's very easy to make announcements. It's very easy to say things that are going one way when they are going another. But really, to be behind the curtain and to see who is actually building and what they're building and who is serious about supporting a project, because we have, by design, I think, because we are the first sports team to do this, and sports, you mentioned it before, sports has a very unique position in society. And I think in this fiat world, a lot of the reasons for why sports exist have been lost. They are no longer understood, right? They're no longer, what is the value that professional sports brings to the community? How does it return more energy than it sucks up? How does that actually work? What is the reason that they exist? And I think Bitcoin allows for that to come back into the forefold, into the actual area to be highlighted. And I think that's a good thing. I think for the corporates, the Bitcoin only world, it's not easy to make a lot of money in Bitcoin in the financial world, because in terms of a company, because there isn't a whole lot to the strategy, right? The strategy is buy Bitcoin and hold it. It's not like you're not trading shitcoins or something. There's no, you're not skimming off the top. The market is significantly smaller. And I think we've seen that from The exchanges that we have talked to, like a number of the different companies that we talked to, there's a very similar theme that is going on. So I think we have found it a little bit, what's the word? I won't say disappointing. I will say that the enthusiasm there and the ability for certain companies to recognize that we are a global brand now. You know, we are the Perth Heat. We are a baseball team here. But I think Steve sort of sums it up the best in his story about the Harlem Globetrotters. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah. But what they did for basketball, you know, was far bigger than just playing basketball games in other countries, right? They spread this message of what it could do of the sport, and that helped to grow things. And that's exactly, you know, what we see from the Perth Heat. We see this opportunity to educate people and to take what used to be a negative first reaction to Bitcoin, because you were always getting bombarded from the legacy media with stories that weren't going well, which is by design, right? It's a competing system that the legacy media has full motivation to not show the benefits of. And we wanted to take that and flip it on its head and really be the spot where you could come. You could send grandma to the Perth Heat, and we're going to give them the education that they have the ability to then look at Bitcoin through a positive eye, and to do that from the very first step. And I think our appeal there is that it is now a global story, right? If this doesn't work out, much like it is for the board, much like it is for the owners involved in the Heat, this is a, whether we put it that way or not, it's a testbed for, is this going to be successful? What's the reaction going to be from the market? What's the reaction going to be from the people, from the fans? Is it actually going to work? And being that testbed, I think it opens up the doors for a lot. We have seen there are certain companies who have been nothing but enthusiastic about this idea that they finally have a spot where they can test out everything that they've been wanting to test, where they can really try, whether that's payments inside the ballpark or things that they want to do with the broadcast. There's been enthusiasm there, but it's just really about follow through and recognizing that for this to work and for it to be successful, switching over to Bitcoin focused sponsors is going to be key, because it's a global story. And it offers the opportunity to educate so many people outside of just baseball, so many people outside of just Australia, that I think as that story gets out more and more, it's going to be easier and easier for people to recognize the opportunity that's at hand. But really, this is the first of its kind, and we are sort of in the thick of being able to deliver that story to the key people that need to decide how much is this actually going to benefit the network. How much good can we actually do, and what will the buy-in be from the community?
Yeah, that's interesting, because you know, you've got a lot of eyes on you at the moment, and it's not just people in Australia, it's globally, that are looking at what you're doing and going, oh yeah, let's see if this pans out, and oh yeah, it's probably not going to work. And the other people would be like, this is awesome, this is a test case that you guys can nut out all the scenarios. But you did say something that was interesting, where the purpose of sport, and Steve, you probably have a fair bit to do with this as well, to say on it rather, is, excuse me, my daughter, I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and she wanted to play cricket, right? And I'm a big cricket fan. All right. So I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, bub. You know what I mean? Because girls play cricket now, you know, but they didn't in my day. You know what I mean? And so I go down and I help the coach out. And you've got all these little 9-year-old boys and girls that are, half of them, I think, are ADHD. And it's just chaos. They're just running different directions. And like, there's about 3 or 4 of us that are trying to conjure them to be just stand there and just ball the ball and then hit it, you know, and then they're talking to the friends and they run. It's literally chaos, but they have the best of times. And it reminded me when, because it was very much encouraged, I think it was almost compulsory when I went to school to do some sort of form of sport and some sort of team sport, you know. And I think you learn a lot of values in team sports and participation about, like, you know, what you give is what you get out, and, you know, discipline, turning up on time. So you've got, I imagine you've got lower levels in Perth Heat. Is that right? Do you have like a junior leagues or anything like that?
We've got the Heat Futures programs, which are run through by Baseball WA. So the under 16s and under 18s.
Oh yeah. Cool. Did you have anything to do with that?
Yeah, yes and no, we do. So look, Baseball WA are the experts in terms of producing top-end talent. Baseball WA are also our team manages, so it's Lachlan Dale that puts our roster together. So we got tremendous faith in the programs that they're doing and the baseballers that they continue to produce. So in terms of our management team, our ownership group, it's still relatively young in the baseball world. So I think it's important that we leave it to the experts in terms of developing the next crop of baseballers. So Lockie, Andy Cole, Dean White, etc., have done an incredible job in producing baseballers. It's a system and a program that works for us, and we work in with them.
Yeah, good. But the reason I bring that up is because sport is one of the unique things in society, but I think it's more prevalent. Well, it's very prevalent in Australia because we are so sport mad. It's a way of a whole community coming together with a common aim, a common goal, a common interest, and it puts aside political beliefs, financial, where you are financially, your job, the difference between you, your color of your skin, your background, all that just goes away. And that's what I think, teaching young kids, that gives them that issue. But it also is, that whole arena when that sport thing, everyone's participating in one thing, and that's so unique in society. And to have that, it's funny, I don't really know how to collate it or put it together, but have that in itself, but also have that as a means to educate people into financial security, into Bitcoin, into cryptocurrency as well. That transition, I haven't quite put it together yet, but I think it's immensely important.
Oh, without doubt, and as our operation continues to grow, it will extend, across just beyond the Perth Heat. So, because, the players will, the younger players will want to be educated. Additional parts to the baseball or diamond sports family will want to be educated, and will continue to expand and grow in that sense. But as an organisation, are you all pulling in the same direction? Without doubt, it's not just the 9 players on the field that win a championship. It's everyone collectively involved with the organisation that wins championships. If one part of the organisation is not supporting the other, it's very, very difficult to win. You all need to be on the same page with that same goal, understanding how each part of the organisation assists the other, whether it's a media conference running on time to make sure that the player finishes that media conference by 12:30, be on the training track by 12:45 or whatever it may be, or if players are doing player appearances, they need to be back by a certain time, or however it works. There's a lot of moving parts to winning a championship and making sure that everyone understands their role within that within the team.
Yeah, I can imagine running an organisation like yourself, the logistics would just be a nightmare, something that I wouldn't like to participate in at all. Hi, everyone. Just a quick plug before we get back to the show. Crypto markets can be quite overwhelming space to be involved in, especially if you're starting out. There is a lot to get your head around, like security, purchasing crypto, exchanges, wallet, taxes, and a whole bunch more. That is why we've pulled together an expert consultants to help you through the journey. If you jump on our site at orangebrickroad.com.au/crypto-consulting, you will find a number of different consultants with specialties in different areas. Simply book a call with a consultant and you're off and running. Once again, that is orangebrickroad.com.au/crypto-consulting. But saying that's probably what I was getting at is how it reverberates through society, sport and coming together and that sort of stuff into the younger kids that then sort of have kids of their own and, they branch out and that sort of thing. What are some of the things, Patrick, that you're sort of doing to educate players or, the Perth Heat, sorry about that, the Perth Heat community into crypto? Do you have anything that's like that you have at the moment, or have you got any ideas?
It depends. It depends on who we're talking about. In terms of the players, that's just ongoing personal conversations where, we do team stuff as well. When the team will come in for this season, we'll have a briefing on exactly what it looks like to be able to safely hold and interact with the Bitcoin network and understand the asset and understand how the system is going to work for paychecks, just like you would have any orientation, because as Steve said, we get such a large influx of brand new players to the system that is very important for us. It's key, like I said before, that my job is to make sure that it's easier than whatever the system was before. So that means onboarding people to understand what exactly they're holding, what exactly it means to do that. For the fans, it's very much, again, this is not, our job here is not to, or the goal of this transformation is not to push anything on anybody, right? It's the same way that I would orange pill an individual. You know, like you say, you have to be in the right space, in the right frame of mind. And really what we're doing here, the hopes are that this provides a platform for people to sort of take a step back and say, it's almost okay to be curious. It's okay to wonder and to not be sure and to not know where to go for that information. And then that's where we're by your side. That's where we're by our fan sides to understand, okay, how do they take this and use it inside the ballpark? Like, that's just your first step. Like, just you watch somebody do a Lightning transaction for the very first time, and they put it together pretty quickly. And as soon as you get that very first win on the board, you know, the next question flows and it becomes a very organic process. But I will say one thing that you mentioned before about the sports and tying that in with Bitcoin and tying that in with the baseball team, and why I think it's so important, is because Bitcoin will change sports forever. And the model that professional sports is currently run by is one where the attention is sold. Your attention is sold. And you may not know that. You may not understand why that's happening. But it is actually limiting the potential returns for professional sports. It's actually limiting to the players, to the fans themselves. And the things like, you go to the ballpark, the community rallies around a team. As you said, you all come together, you forget everything that is outside the ballpark for a little bit. And it's an example of a low time preference, life well lived in a 3-hour time window on a Saturday. You see it everything. You see from the top to bottom. And what we go to look at, right? You don't go to watch somebody play baseball if they're just halfway decent. You want to see the best player in the world, because why? What does that represent? What have they done to do that? The sacrifice, the hard work, the dedication, the ups and downs, the grit to come back, to come together as a team, to fight, all of those things that we want to see in our professional athletes. That's what we want to see in our own communities, right? That's the example that you're setting, is if you do these things, you can be successful outside of baseball. You can be successful, and that motivation, that enthusiasm that you carry from the ballpark, if you've had a great experience, you're not going to remember, or ideally, you know, you don't want to remember what the advertisement on the home run sign is. You don't want to remember in between the fourth inning that some graphic flashed on the screen and, you know, that graph grabbed your attention for some second and you can get some product. The whole thing is what is happening on the field, is the values that are being shown. And we think that using Bitcoin and players understanding Bitcoin puts them in a better position to do that, to focus on those things, like the actual value that they're providing on the field to the community. We think the community will rally around it better. We think their motivation and their enthusiasm will be better because of it. And it puts the team in a better place to be able to offer an environment for the team to win games. And if the team wins games, what does that show? Well, that's exemplary of all of those, like the result of all of that hard work, of all of that low time preference, of all of the sacrifice of practicing day in and day out, foregoing other things, so that you can focus all of your energy on one specific task and just become a master of that task. And that provides benefit to everyone in the community. So really, that is why Bitcoin changes everything.
Yeah, no, that's really well said, man, because that's one thing that I try to get through to younger clients is time horizon. You know, like you might go, say you're a apprentice plumber or, you know, whatever, and instead of going to the pub on a Friday night and blowing $160 on a meal and lots of beers, you know, eat at home and buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. You know, so your time preference is not every Friday, because if it is every Friday, you know what I mean? You aren't getting ahead. All you're doing is staying still and you're not existing, basically. And it's changing that time frame. And that's interesting how you brought up how it reverberates, you know, through sport, you know, because you don't become a marathon runner by getting up at 6:30 on a Tuesday and running 45 minutes and going, oh, cool. You know, you have to spend years doing 45 minutes or an hour and a half and building up and building up and building up, you know, to get that. And that's what sport brings, is that you are not going to, I used to say it too, very, really sort of a segue, but it kind of does apply, is, you know, I used to teach music and people would struggle with music, you know, at the start. And it's like, this is a skill that you've never, ever done before. You know, if you're beating yourself up and wanting to get results too quickly, you know, you don't have a realistic view of how things work and how the learning mechanism works, you know. So it's about, yeah, educating people on time frame and a realistic time frame. And I love also what you mentioned about you're not teaching your players how to trade, you know, because and that I think might be, and once again, we might go off on a tangent, that might be potentially a difficult thing for you guys to do with your players, because your players inherently, I believe, and I could be wrong, are very high risk tolerant, because they don't have a 9-to-5 job, you know, that they don't go for that. They probably, some of them gamble, possibly not. They probably do take risks. And that type of person has a tendency to want to trade, you know. But if you can educate them that the buying and holding in the long-term point of view, I think would also be healthy for them to not go down them roads. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I would say one of the big things that we have found in our conversations with players and just athletes in general, which, you know, once you think about it, you come to understand that this is the case. That yes, athletes are by definition risk takers, and you have to have that mindset, because you think about all of the energy that you are putting into this endeavor to sacrifice everything else in your life to be the best. And at the level that we are working with, like, these athletes are on the cusp of being the best baseball players in the world. That takes time, it takes dedication, it takes a ton of work and energy. They understand that. But what they really want is they want more time to be able to do all of those things. They want more time to get better. They want more time to do the weights. They want more time to practice. Now, how do you do that? Well, you eliminate other activities from your life. Yep. And if you have to continually invest work as a second job to continually invest in the savings that you have acquired in your past work, right? The property that belongs to you, if you have to continually work to invest that to keep up, just to keep that energy, just to keep it at the same level that you originally worked for it, that is a distraction, right? So the top-down sort of change that we have made in the organization to say the default is now Bitcoin. Why is it Bitcoin? Because this will allow you to focus more of your energy on becoming a better baseball player, which in the end is all that we get paid to do. Like, the entire organization exists to be the best baseball team possible. That's why we're out here, to win baseball games. And we do that by allowing players to focus more of their time. And that's also a recruitment draw. It's like, we want you to come here, and Steve's whole job is to provide the best environment for our players to be as good as they possibly can be. What does that mean? That means focusing everything that you have on baseball. That means you don't have to worry about trading. We're telling you right now that you don't have to take our word for it, right? We're just there as a guide. You can do whatever you want with the money. You can do whatever you want with the splits, but the default is going to be Bitcoin. And here's why it's going to be Bitcoin, because it'll actually make you a better baseball player. And if you want to be a better baseball player, which everyone on the team wants to be a better baseball player, everybody, every staff member wants to be the best baseball team in Australia. So with that in mind, this makes us better, because you don't have to worry about another aspect, because it's not being stolen from you, right? You can't have it taken out of your pocket. You can't have it rehypothecated if you understand how to store Bitcoin. Yeah. So as soon as you do those things, that puts you in a better spot to become better at whatever you want to do. And that really is the freedom. You know, you hold Bitcoin over a 4-year, 5-year cycle, whatever it might be, for any extended amount of time. And what do you have in the end? You have the freedom to be able to focus your energy on whatever you want to focus it on, right? That is the gift that Bitcoin gives. And through this endeavor, that's what we're hoping to produce at the club.
Yeah, because you said a lot in that. Because I found, like, and Steve, you probably attest to this, is that people don't really know a lot about how the Federal Reserve works, or quantitative easing, or printing of money, the deflationary. They don't have any of this until they get into Bitcoin, and then they learn about, you know, the monster at Jekyll Island and taking it off the gold standard and all. And so that's a separate education, you know. But you get educated in finance, you know, as a result of being in Bitcoin. But also, and I know that you would have had this experience, Steve, is when you are coaching someone and you're one-on-one and you're training them and you're trying to get them improved, It's very personal, you know, and you get to know them on a deep level. You get to know what their motivations are, what doesn't motivate them, what hurts them about their family, about their personal troubles, that sort of stuff. Because I find it too when I'm training or teaching someone about, you know, investing in crypto, is we're talking about money. So we're talking about their future. So when we're screen sharing or whatever, or waiting for something to load, they'll bring things up like, I'm doing this for my kids, or I'm doing this for this reason. You get to know them very, very well. I imagine that's your experience with your players as well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the set of players we had last year, I managed to stay with the local guys now for a couple of years. So, yeah, you do get to know them and you do get to understand them, and that's important, yeah. I think with any relationship in management, you need to know, the person just outside of what they're doing, in that 9-to-5 position or whatever it may be. It's important to know about their family or, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, kids, etc. It makes a lot of difference in terms of understanding, the person and being able to relate to them. For me, management 101 really is, knowing, who's within your organisation and their history to some degree as well.
Yeah, because I'm almost doing another sort of analogy or something like that is, because the sports person, their growth and their potential and their career, it's public, it's not sitting in a little basement somewhere, so they're out in the open, and that's got to be a lot of pressure, not only for you, but for them as well.
I'll look in general, the public would not know what an athlete goes through, on a week-to-week basis to put themselves out on the field. Say a player has a bad game and he's criticised heavily then on social media. The public do not know what that person has been through. They may have had a family death 24 hours prior to the game, which hasn't become public, but they've decided to play and they're distracted. They may be part injured and they're playing a game because the advice is that they can play at a certain level and get through the game. There's so many different things that an athlete may be going through which remain private, yet the public want to know about it. I think we all turn up to work, from day to day and have bad days at the office, yeah?
Oh yeah,
but that's kept within within your four walls or within your house or whatever it may be. For athletes, it's out there. You cannot have a bad game and escape it. But there's so many scenarios why that may be happening in your life. It's just you wish and respectfully keep it private.
Yeah, as much as you can, but that's where I'm going to do the segue thing. It's because you get your players to perform in public, well, that they have to. It's a part of their criteria. Also, like the news conferences that they do, the media that they have to do, it's all out there, the social media, the whole nine yards. So they're very much exposed and it's out there. And it kind of strikes me as very similar to what you guys are doing with Bitcoin, because you guys are out there, you're exposed. You're on the field, and you've got all eyes looking at you.
Yeah, look, it's as public as you like it. It's like people say, are you afraid of the Australian Taxation Department knocking on your door? Well, no, why? How can we be? It's like, look at the cap, it couldn't be any more obvious what we're doing. We've got a massive B on our forehead. Flip side is that we actually encourage them to come knocking and to help us navigate the path forward, so to speak. But again, with what we, in terms of our operation now being very, very public, we're not hiding from anything. We've made it pretty clear in terms of what we're doing, and I think we've been pretty honest in terms of saying that it's a journey and we'll continue to evolve with it. Is everything perfect right now? No, it's far from it. But if we're not doing it, then who is? And how do we move forward as a society? So it's in a lot of ways we're pioneering the way for other sports teams, and we encourage other sports teams to jump on the train as quickly as possible, because the more that do that, the better, not only for Perth Heat, but for the wider community as well.
Yeah, and I like the whole cohesion of the education part of it, of spreading it through the whole baseball community. I just think that's so important, because we're missing that social structure in society, I think, of having a common thing, and I think Bitcoin and sport, it's just a perfect marriage. It really is,
Yeah, and it will continue to evolve, and the education, on different levels will help different people. So I'm sure if you walk down the Hay Street Mall now and mention Bitcoin to some and ask them if they've purchased any, they'd say, no, I don't have $30,000 to buy a coin. Yeah. And it's like, you don't need it. And they'll just look at you with a blank face. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's where, the education can be quite simple. Yeah, and just starting that journey for people. You don't have to go into hash rates and all those sorts of things to start having a conversation about Bitcoin. And sometimes that's where it gets lost. And even an organization like Perth 8 can be an introduction into Bitcoin in a very, very simple way for people to understand how they can transact and then how they can educate themselves from visiting the ballpark and starting the 100 hours of education from there.
Yeah, because it's funny you say that because when you've been in it for many years and you've just been around it and you're used to the lingo, you're used to the technology, that sort of stuff, you forget your journey because it's sort of in the distance past and you're still learning. Because I went to a business meeting, I think about a month ago, and a guy asked me, oh, what do you do? I said, I do this. We've got a whole team. We help people invest in different types of crypto, that sort of stuff. And he goes, oh, I'm too late with the Bitcoin thing. And I'm like, no, you're not, mate. It's kind of just pulling back. It'll be all right. And he goes, oh, I just can't afford one. And that's it. And I'm like, you can buy $5 worth if you want. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. So it's an education thing, you find that when you open up people, because they get a lot of bombardment from, because I think it's hard because of the social media, mainstream media and how they do it. But then what I think is worse and almost pervasive is when you get people that regurgitate headlines, straight off the talking points, and they have that conviction in them. So not only they're getting it from the mainstream media, they're getting it from their family and friends too. Bitcoin's a scam. This is no good. It's dark internet money. Do you know what I mean? So it's getting reinforced, that sort of thing. But just tying up, Patrick, if you were to have a crystal ball, and I'll get you to chime in on this as well, Steve, is if you were to have a crystal ball and everything was to line up perfectly, where do you see the integration of Bitcoin crypto into the Perth Heat in the next 6 to 12 months?
If everything goes as scheduled, everything perfectly goes as scheduled, which we're in complete control, so I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. I think it transitions smoothly to a system where you come to the ballpark, you interact with the team in any capacity, and you have the ability and the understanding to be able to share in Bitcoin and to support in Bitcoin. And it becomes a place, you mentioned education, it becomes a place where instead of being on the back foot with legacy media, instead of that first introduction being something scary and on the dark web, it comes to a place of this just works and it simply works better. And these are the reasons why it works better. And people go away wanting to know more and be more curious and to really allow individuals to learn in a space that is safe and respected. And we have the 32 years of proof of work as an organization to not only continue winning on the baseball field, but to offer our community something that is going to be beneficial to them, right? The stronger they become, the stronger we become. And it really is a circular economy of once you see the benefits of sports, once you see the benefits that Bitcoin can enhance all of the elements that everyone loves about baseball, that everyone loves about sports, that those things will build together and we all get stronger in the end. And I think as soon as people can recognize that and the fear and the uncertainty that comes with learning about something that from the outside can seem incredibly complex, as soon as we give them those little wins, which is our goal, is to open up those windows of opportunity for little tiny wins and interest, I think it's going to be a really bright future. And it's going to be smooth from the customer side of things. It's going to be smooth from the fan side of things. Behind the scenes, it's going to be challenging, and we're ready for that challenge. But I think that's what we've come to expect, and that's what we're going to be fighting for. And like Steve said, if not us, then who is going to do this? That was really the mantra, and we've decided it's going to be us. And we have a certain skill set, and the organization is in a very unique position. And our goal really is to be that first step and to lead from the front.
Yeah, that's interesting because that reminds me of the duck theory. You see the duck on top of the water and it just looks like it's gliding, but underneath it's paddling like, So people are going to see all this, but it's all the underlying infrastructure and you guys going and fixing and that sort of stuff. So throwing it to you, Steve, what would be your ideal scenario in 6 to 12 months for Perth Heat and crypto Bitcoin?
Well, they always say Bitcoin wins. So as a Bitcoin baseball team, if we don't win the Claxton Shield, something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
I'm in a bit of shit as a CEO if we don't win. So, look, yeah. There's so many parts. So, yeah, obviously, you know, winning championships is important. But, you know, for me, walking around the ballpark and seeing how it all comes together, hoping that we've advanced what we did, you know, 6 months ago is important. Having conversations with fans and members and making sure that they're comfortable, but also understanding what this journey is all about. Because if we get to the end of the season and no one's got any clue what we're doing, why we're doing it, or how we're doing it, then yeah, you know, that would be disappointing as well. Or for people to be coming into the ballpark being intimidated by what we're doing is not right, or not to be comfortable by it as well. So there's different storylines throughout the season. Obviously, yeah, the education of our players and staff is important. Making sure that as an organisation we continue to improve our efficiencies and what we're doing internally. There's a lot, but in 12 months' time, I hope that we've won a championship and we're closer to probably our first international trip somewhere as the Bitcoin baseball team, and being able to also take what we're doing internationally and show the world what's possible on by operating on a Bitcoin standard.
Yeah, great, and I love how you're seeing it all as a holistic thing. It's, you know, it benefits the players, the community, you know, the whole thing, you know.
Well, it has to be that way. I don't think it can be any other way. So, if you're only doing it, piecemeal, so then it's unfortunately we would be like some others before us. When Patrick and I spoke about what we were doing, there was only one way, and that was effectively all in. Yeah. And I think that's helped us as well.
Yeah, it's not a virtual signal. It's not a, oh, look at us. You know, you're actually doing it for personal reasons and professional reasons and for holistic community reasons, which is why I think it's great what you guys are doing. And to me, it's not brave. It makes sense, you know?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. Yeah. People say, oh, you're mad doing this. Yeah, you're crazy. It's like, no, it was quite an easy decision.
Yeah.
I'm glad you say that, because I don't think it's brave at all. I don't think it's crazy. I just think it makes sense. It's pretty simple. Wasn't a difficult decision for me at all.
Yeah, great. All right, guys. But just to tie up, I have a couple of things. One is obviously we're going to have all your details and stuff down below, your links to your website, all that sort of stuff. We'll get all that off you. But just before we finish, Patrick, have you got anything else? Do you think you've covered everything, or is there something that you want to finish off on?
No, I think that pretty much sums it up for the audience of exactly what we're trying to do. I would say our main goal here in all the stuff that we're doing before the season is just getting the word out on that this is really all in on Bitcoin and seeing, basically years of a dream of seeing whether or not this was possible. And the infrastructure is there now and really having people jump on board and support the team, whether or not they're in Australia is the reason we're doing all this stuff in the first place. So I would say that's just the main goal of doing all this stuff.
Well, I love it, man. If there's anything that we can do at all, man, just reach out, email, phone, whatever, because I love what you're doing. I think it's fantastic. All right, just to finish up, Steve, I've just got a last question for you. Does it bother you that your brother-in-law is a Yank?
No, absolutely not. No, he's an incredible human, and forever grateful that he met my sister.
Awesome, because he's actually a smart one, which is rare, you know. Hi to all my American viewers.
he comes from a beautiful family, and as an extended family, we've been over the moon since Patrick came into our lives.
How long you been in Australia, Patrick?
On and off since 2009 now.
Okay. Yeah, you're almost one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much, guys. And like I said, everyone, the details are all going to be down below. And as new things evolve or whatever, keep in touch. We'll do another stream, that sort of thing, man. It's awesome. Been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate the support. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, and share. Follow us on
Orange Brick Road on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.